Well, hello everybody. It's 1 o'clock. Welcome to our very last CWIG meeting of 2017. Just a reminder, if people do wish to continue on into 2018 for the implementation and testing phases, just be sure to fill out that survey, the opt-in survey. I'll add a link in the chat bar. Let's see. Let's start with a roll call. Alexandra won't be in today. Alexis Adkins.
Here.
Anna Kephart. Hi, Alexis. Hi, Anna. Betsy Baldwin?
Here.
Hi.
Hi.
Caitlin Wells? Christy Tomacek? Devin Proudfoot?
Hi.
Hi. Eleanor Blackman? Elizabeth Wilkinson? Ella Van Holtum? Greg Farr? Jane LaBarbera? Joanne Archer?
Yep.
Hi. Joanna Carl?
Here.
Hi. John Andrews? Lavinia Chufa? Linda Hawking? Linda Sellers? Lisa Callahan? Lynn Mouton? Sorry if I messed up your name. Margaret Kidd? Mariella Soprano? Megan Blair? Megan Lyon, Malaka Cotman, Monique Sugimoto, Olivia Solis, Sarah Chetney, Sarah Casson, hi, Suzanne Riller, and Thomas Allen. So thank you all for tuning in today, and thank you to everybody who's looking back at our meeting notes and our recordings later. And thank you for hanging on throughout these several months on this project. This definitely has been a formidable project, and I'm really blown away by the work that we've been able to accomplish. And today is the final haul. We do have a lot to cover today, and we'll just see how far we can get. All right, first of all, do we have any strong pressing questions that we should address right away? So let's just dive right in. So it seems like some big questions that we, outstanding questions that we have is about, say, for example, in the organization of menus, the cog and system settings, whether they should be combined or not. Do people have opinions on this? So I would definitely take a look at the organization of menus spec. The reason that there was a proposal to combine both of them is because I'm pretty sure that there was some aspects of managing users at the top menu and some aspects of managing users in that cog and wheel. And so it was trying to put everything basically in the same spot so you're not hunting around in the system for it. But if so, that also means that theoretically we should probably make sure that our recommendations are consistent with that change.
I like them combined.
Thanks, Betsy. Within the New York University comments, it sounded like some people were a little uncomfortable with potentially merging repository settings with system settings. So it may, this may be a slightly hairier problem that will go beyond the scope of just trying to button things up in the immediate, like today and potentially tomorrow or something.
That's a good point.
So I would recommend you all take a look at these, at the organizations of menu to see the spec and think hard about it and weigh in. If you want, I can share my screen so this way I can show you exactly what I'm talking about. So here we go. So this is on page 5 or so. So here we have the user account. Here we have the repository that's named. Earlier it says this repository has the ability to change the repository up here. But as far as settings, then the system and local settings are here in the second tier. So that's something just to look into a little bit more. Otherwise, a lot of great work has been done on all the specs, but especially this one. All right. Another outstanding issue that I wanted to talk about was the access points issue. So this is under this agents and subjects spec. There was a lot of back and forth about whether we should have lump agents and subjects together as access points or not. And so it's starting to sound like potentially it could be, it gets into which terms are being kind of generalized for broader understanding versus what terms need to be distinct for their specific jobs within our profession. So, do people have ideas or opinions about that? Right here, I'm sharing my screen for the agents and subjects. So there's potentially a proposal to nix access points and to nix this explanation of terminology right here. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
I I certainly don't think it should be access points because that's inclusive of both subjects and names. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds to me, Milak, I'm sorry, I'm kind of sick as a dog too, but it sounds to me, Malaka, like this is kind of encroaching on some professional, some specific professional functions that need to remain distinct. So I would propose nixing the access points at this point. Is anybody really upset about that?
No, I think agents and subjects is much more direct.
Okay, great. And just because I've been terrible looking at the chat bar, Sarah, about your supporting of a change, any simplification sounds good. Is that in response to the earlier topic about potentially combining the systems and repository settings? Okay. Okay, I recommend let's go ahead and nix the access points and just retain the agents and subjects. Okay, great. Jane also says the term subjects, it would be nice to find a slightly more inclusive term. Potentially there could be a working group to further expand subjects or further refine it. What issues are you thinking about there? So if people do have additional issues about, say, subjects not being quite inclusive enough, I think it's worth writing up somewhere. Where is a good question? Potentially on the brainstorming document? Just so that way we can take a look at those ideas. All right, let's keep going. There's also a question that was about agents and subjects on merging and deleting. This is a spec that was kind of straddling data entry and the agents and subject spec. Lynn, are you around? Would you be able to talk about that? So I'm not sure if it's been brought over quite yet, but this is a spec. Let me go ahead and share my screen. This is about managing agents and subjects, merge or bulk select agents and subjects. So right here, they have a select all button and a button to merge. Looks like here's a current view. Here's the proposed new view, adding the select all and merge functionality. And this is the merge screen that would show up. There's also, okay, great. Lynn brought it over. Great. This is an earlier proposed view of this behavior. So there's a manage agents button that opens up to create agents, merge agents, and delete agents. It says create agent would open a blank new agent record as currently does. Merge agents would open functionality similar to the merge option within a resource record. And delete agents would pop up a confirmation page and then delete the selected records. Do people have any opinions about this? I think it seems to be the biggest question of where to put the functionality of stuff. And my personal opinion is that that I really appreciate that bulk delete functionality potentially, and potentially that drop-down menu might be a little bit easier, but a little bit easier to understand. But I'm also open to other ideas too. All right, no thoughts. Then I guess Lynn will have to duke it out with herself and anybody else who wants to talk about it too.
I would be interested in hearing examples of when one would use the merging. Is it because slightly different subjects were created and so then they need to be combined, or is there another?
Yeah, it sounds to me like it has to do a lot with data cleanup. So stuff that's imported, legacy data. Anybody else have other examples? Yeah, Jane LaBarbera says we merged because of lack of authority in the past, bad index data. Three Abe Lincolns, Civil War versus the actual term for that. Yeah. It seems like the functionality is helpful. So this is more of a kind of visual layout question, I think. Yep. Okay. All right. So people who are interested, weigh in and comment quickly. So moving along. In the visual layout, there's a mock-up which includes a forgot password function. This is something I'm throwing a curveball at user accounts and permissions. Does that seem like something that would be helpful? I don't know how the programming would be for that. But otherwise, it's like, oh, I forgot my password, I'm locked out, and oh, by the way, our repository manager is on vacation or maternity leave.
I could see how it would be helpful for most institutions, but my institution uses LDAP so that our sign-ons are synced with the sign-on just to get into your computer and any other resource on campus. So I don't want them to be able to reset their password in our headspace because it should be done through yet another management system. So there should be a way to turn it off.
Yeah, it would seem like if there is some sort of authentication system already in place, like a third-party one, then there should be a way to disable the view and editing of those functions. Uh-huh. Oh, you guys have a smart authentication system. Well, good for you. All right. So I'll kick that over to user accounts and permissions. Talking about user accounts and permissions, how are things going, guys?
So, Lydia, I'm not sure if you had saw. I just got a chance to email you our main concerns a couple minutes before the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. I can't speak on behalf of the rest of the group. I have not gotten a chance to look at Jason's suggestions too much.
But it's
a lot of stuff to think about.
Mm-hmm. So just a little recap for everybody that Jason Loeffler was able to tune into our meeting last time, and he was very helpful, but he gave a lot of very detailed and helpful feedback yesterday at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon or so. So user accounts and permissions are having to dig out right now. If you guys would like to take a look at their spec page, you can see what they've already worked on, as well as Jason's additional contributions. He introduced a lot of new ideas, which I'm sure a lot of them are really good ones. But it's the interface is drastically different because he is basing it off of the Drupal system.
I think from first glance, a lot of this stuff looks very useful, but it might be worth if there was a complete user accounts permissions overhaul where all of these could make their way in. But I think it's just a lot to add to considering the scope of what we're doing, at least in my mind.
Well, especially in the last minute like this too. So it may be worth just adding something in the overview about that potentially a future working group to focus on this might be necessary, and just do the best you can with these additional contributions. It sounds like a lot of the screenshots might be so dramatically different. It might be disorienting for people. So if you want to just distill some of the greatest influences, that might be best.
I wouldn't want to just get rid of all his work. Could we create another Google Doc that could just live in for the time being?
Sure. Yep. So see also addendum, whatever he calls it.
Yeah.
Yep. That sounds fine.
Okay.
Yes. Great. Okay. Okay. All right. Back to our agenda. Is there a way to navigate in and out of the resource tree via keyboard shortcut for screen readers or just people who want to use shortcuts in general? Malaka, do you know? So again, this is kind of referencing something in the visual layout spec that has to do with the accessibility issue of having the resource tree right in the center of the screen. So it gets to be kind of endless scroll for screen readers. So Malaka, in your user specs, have you mentioned anything about skipping these larger portions?
No.
Okay. It may take a little bit of finagling, and I'm not sure exactly how to do that, but it sure would be nice to find a way to potentially tab from the most significant points, tab across the large menu items, tab into the resource record, then use the arrows to go within the resource record, and then tab out to get down to the edit area. I don't know. If you guys aren't able to come up with anything, we are pretty much out of time too, so it might be worth saying that would be a nice feature for further investigation. And then Visual Layout had another question about one or two published notes for multi-part notes. There's actually two publish buttons, if you look at it, currently for multi-part notes. And so the Visual Layout team was trying to figure out whether that's really necessary or not. So let's see here. I'm going to get the link right here. Our current recommendations is because we don't know if there may be some cases, say if you have multiple, conditions governing access notes, like multiple components of that, and then you only want to publish a few of those ones and not all, then that's why it might be necessary to have multiple publish notes. Otherwise, it also seems like it could get more complicated than it's worth. But we wanted to keep more options than not. So I'm also going to share my screen so this way you can see exactly what I'm talking about. So this is on page 15 right here. So visual layout of notes. First, we rib about there being two different note types right here. And then we also rib about there being two published notes. And so then we propose having a single type note and then potentially adding, in order to condense the screen a little bit more, a click to expand area. And then we kept these two published notes for now because we just have no idea how people may use that. Does anybody have any thoughts about this, especially if they are in those cases where they have multiple part notes where they only want some of them published? Okay, then I think we'll just keep it as is then, to keep that kind of functionality in case people really want it. So since Lynn just tuned in, sorry Lynn, I muted you earlier because it was kind of noisy, but if we talked briefly about the agents and subjects, and it didn't sound like there was a lot of opinions either way. You know my opinion, but I'd love to hear your thoughts about it too. Do you have anything else you'd like to say about it? And Lynn, just in case you're trying to talk, there may be something at the bottom of your screen about like if you're muted or not still. Okay, great. And also, Betsy wrote, the two published boxes is somewhat confusing unless you need it, I guess. I wonder if it'd be good to have a second word for the checkbox so you know what you're changing or addressing.
Or checkboxes is what I meant for both of them, so you knew what you were addressing.
Oh, okay. So how so?
So you knew what you were publishing or unpublishing.
Right.
This is unclear to me that the multi-part note at the top, is it, are you agreeing to publish the whole thing? And mm-hmm. that's maybe showing my lack of experience using this part of the program very much yet.
Oh, yeah.
But so it just was a thought. Oh.
Yeah. Well, this is just what I wrote up earlier. Mm-hmm. So my proposal is that if the top button, top level button is published, it automatically publishes the subordinate note unless it is explicitly unchecked. And also, Christine DiBella, do you have any other insight into this area? Was this an intentional finessing of the system right here for multiple part notes?
I'm not sure. Usually when there's multiple checkboxes, it's because to give people that extra level of granularity. But yeah, presumably if you have a multi-part note, you want to publish all parts of it. So it's probably not necessary from a system standpoint.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks for your feedback.
I just wanted to chime in and say that we've also had issues with the two public boxes, so any clarification would be nice. Like, we were trying to export a MARC XML file, and we did not understand why some notes were not being published until we discovered the second box. So if that was clearer, that would be helpful for us.
Okay. What I'll plan to do, let's see, Lynn, you wrote in something. If the user had control over whether any given note was multi-part, any note that was just going to have one sub-note text could be set to single part and eliminate the second checkbox. But that would be a new piece of functionality we hadn't thought through yet. Okay, yep.
Definitely. That seems like a good idea, though, to have the option of creating that second box or not, the second checkbox.
Let me... Lynn, I'm going to copy your comment into that spec, and then I'll look more into it later and try to write something to emphasize the need for streamlined and clarity with all this. All right. This also goes into another question that came up on the brainstorming page about the terminology of published versus public. So this is something that I'm sorry, customization, I kicked over to you guys because you guys tend to be the kind of catch-all. and feel free to kick it back or get rid of it or not. So let's see here. customization. Under terminology, let me go ahead and get this link to you guys. All right. All right, so publish or public. So I tried to phrase this in a way that's very optional, but it's to reexamine this terminology because it's confusing, they say. It blurs the type of information of internal and external audience and the status of the information. I guess it's like a logical syntax kind of thing that they're pointing to. So they were saying basically that it seems like EAD already publishes the data even when it's unchecked, even though the audience is internal. So if they want to be very logical about it, it may be best to relabel this public to be clear. Okay, Lynn wrote, AT used to say internal only. Was that better than publish or public? Well, I do know that the repository processing note, like at the top of a resource, it sure would be nice if there was a label that said internal only, especially for that and any other specifically inherently non-public fields. Any other thoughts, anybody?
What page is that on, Lydia?
Yeah.
What page is that?
That's on page 9.
Thanks.
So I think what I'll do is I'll fix my typo. And I'll say an optional suggestion is to reexamine this, to just really kind of underline that this is something that was proposed. It's just really pointing to a logic and syntax, and is probably worth a little bit more investigation. All right, Joanne says that prefers wording of public better. Okay, some people agree. So it sounds like it is worth to keep within the spec at least. All right, great. All right, this one, going down the agenda about data entry. This is about RDE, about auto-validating or having it validate after a row is complete or when you push a button. So currently in RDE, when you're adding data to it, all those pink flags show up everywhere. And so they were just trying to address that in some way. So let me get you the link for data entry. Okay, so it's on page 13. Remove default error message. Currently, error messages appear before any data is entered in a given row, visually cluttering the data fields and confusing users. The automatic validation should only run on a row after the next row is added, indicating that the user is done with data entry on the first row. Since the validation automatically runs, the validate rows button is unnecessary. Removing this button would reduce visual clutter. Removing the button, but also potentially setting a time for when the validation automatically happens. Do people have thoughts about that?
Usually, Oh, one of the key reasons to use RDE is if you're going to use that sequential filling out. So you could easily create 500 component records without ever really typing. So when would it validate since, boom, you're done with 100?
Yeah, so like if you batch create several lines at a time and then you fill in the data. Sorry. What do people say on the chat? Lynn Milton says, the current proposal is to eliminate manual validation, but I think it could be worth the trouble to validate manually if you're using some of the functionality where you drag sequences down your rows. Okay. That's tricky. Does anybody have any ideas about how to reduce the error messages? Because I think that's pointing to the biggest issue about this, right, is that it's distressing for users when they get so many error messages that they can't see the fields to add their data. Would it be helpful to have a time delay on that at all? Or some other idea? Or whether it automatically validates or goes through the validation process once you try to save. So like, is it necessary to have a validate button? Or when you try to save, what if that functionality is lumped into that? So then it catches you from saving if there's an issue. Can we have the users, Jane LaBarbera says, Lynn says, is auto-validation worth the time it saves or maybe remove it entirely? Jane says, can we have the users choose if they want to auto-validate rows or manually validate? Could a checkbox be built in RDE for it? I like the validation with saving option. Sounds like it makes sense to have a delay catching before saving. Sounds good. Validate when saving also sounds good. All right, it sounds like this needs a little bit more thought to it. Like it's definitely going in the right direction. It sounds like maybe potentially combining the validate function with the save button might help. It sounds like maybe also delaying the error messages might help. I also would really like if the error messages were a little bit more helpful. Like sometimes you don't even know what the issue is, but you know, maybe it's also just the combination of being visually overwhelming too.
Lydia, the messages can be turned off if you just click on the view inline errors. It'll still be highlighted in pink, but if the concern is that it's overlaying everything, then maybe move that button so it's more visible. Or have it default to not be on, and you have to actually turn it on every time you want to actually see the error text.
Okay, and so a user can do that when they're in the RDE mode?
Like this in the individual RDE setting? In the RDE mode, there is a button that says view inline errors, and so that's where you're getting the messages that actually cover your text, and that's turn offable already.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to investigate that more.
If we default it to always be off and you actually have to physically turn it on, I think that would probably make a lot of people happier. And as opposed to, as for the color, it's kind of like when you go to a form and they want you to fill out your email address and it already says that you have an error until you get to the .com part. It's kind of the same sort of concept, so people should be used to it.
Yeah, great, helpful. Thanks, Malaka. Lynn wrote in, if you validate at save, could there be an ignore errors and proceed with save or fix errors option once validator ran? Currently, it's like if you do have errors and you're not fixing them, you're out of luck. And it might be good to keep it that way just for the sake of keeping good data. So I would imagine having a fix errors option would be good if we went that direction. Okay, let's see here. Going down. Should there be a more prominent alert when two or more users are editing the same thing? This is from the brainstorming document. A couple of people have contributed some really, let's see. I'm having a difficult time sharing this particular one. So if anybody else has the ability to share this link, just let me know. I have like link sharing varies and then I can't expand it. But I can share my screen. All right. As a staff user, when opening a record in edit mode, I would like the immediate pop-up warning that a record is being edited by another user, so I do not begin editing something my colleagues are editing. So the error and warnings message is the start, but staff users may not see the warning at the top of their screen in somewhat beige until it is too late. I cannot miss pop-up warning that I must intentionally click through the end to the record would help, although why I would be allowed to edit at all, I'm not sure. At least help me know if I'm doing this. If, for example, the data is available in the active edit table, there appears to be some time lag. Oh, I'm having a hard time understanding all this. Yep, so a lot of people have a lot of ideas about this. What do folks think about it? If there should be a greater pop-up, and also, is there a need to restrict users from both editing the same resource? Sometimes I can see a case at my institution where I have a student or volunteer who's entering the inventory data, but I might be working on the notes for the finding aid front matter. So it might be helpful to be able to edit the same thing, but I don't know whether it's a problem in terms of overwriting and losing edits. Thanks, Christine, for giving the link. And Christine DiBella or Christine Kim, do you know? Is like what happens when two people are editing, like, say for the exact same component, it would be whoever saves first. But say if it's a component, two different components within the same resource, for example, do they both save?
I believe the record is still all part of the same record. So only the first person would get to make a change.
Okay, but so say for example, in that case of somebody's adding stuff to the inventory, but somebody else is editing the notes, the front matter. So whoever saves last would kind of cancel out the edits of the other person, even if it's in a different part of that resource record.
Now, the person who saves first is the one person who saves first wins. And if they're working on it at the same time, so if the first person then goes off and does something else, then the next person could save. But if they're still working in the record together, only the first person's changes can't work.
Okay, so are you saying that a particular user that starts saving kind of locks that entire resource or just the component that they're working on?
Yeah, locks for editing. Doesn't lock for viewing, but locks for editing.
Okay.
And there's a message that comes up that tells you somebody else is working on a record.
Uh-huh. But is it for like the precise component they're editing or is it for the entire resource?
I believe it's for the whole resource.
Okay. All right. Great. All right, so it might be good to take a look at what that warning is, and yeah, maybe see whether Contrast and potentially a pop-up might be more helpful to make it more visible. And perhaps have some clarification text about what happens when two people are working on it, potentially. All right, let's see here. Other people are writing in. If the system can't save without overwriting, I would suggest locking a record while it's being edited and showing who is editing the record if someone else tries. Yep. It might be helpful to have the option to save one's own copy of what changes they intend to make, even if someone else is saving first, but I don't know if the second person's ideas are lost or not. I would be concerned about two people in the same record. I think I'd prefer only one person to be able to edit at a time. Okay. Helpful feedback. Let's see here. Data entry people, would you guys be willing to potentially integrate some wording? Maybe take a look at that alert and just add some clarification maybe. Okay, moving along. And people, feel free if there's some huge questions that you guys want to bring to the group, let me know. There was a question about whether to lump in the bulk delete and edit together as part of like proposed revised changes for the reorder, the rapid edit mode. Or keep the reorder mode separate as a button, even if it's also integrated into the rapid edit mode. So there's a lot of comments within this data entry document. So please take a look at that. I feel like there needs to be a little bit of clarification about the location hierarchy bulk move. Let's see here. I have way too many windows open. And also questions about auto-saving. Say, for example, do we want auto-saving incrementally, kind of like Google Docs, or not, or having that manual save all the time, say if you're editing a resource record. So I would take a look at those comments right there and also weigh in. There was also a question about cloning and copying elements versus data inheritance via linking agent records, potentially. Moving along to another summary of customization page, there was a question about version control, about who last edited. Currently, the settings for who last edited are who has edited the top level information, so not not just anybody who has edited, say, the inventory. So this has been a question that's been kicking around for years, actually. And do people have any opinions about it?
I would like to see the whole record considered one object. So if I messed with a digital object, well, and even an instance on a resource record, then the resource record edited date changed. If people want to keep both in two different categories, because it kind of looks like, oh, well, that resource record hasn't been touched in 12 years. And you're like, well, but I added an addition. It just looks odd.
Mm-hmm. So I was having a hard time picking up with you, but were you basically saying that, say, if you edit the inventory with accrualist or something, the current settings allow it to make it look like it hasn't been edited for several years?
Right. So if you have a resource record, and let's say one of the notes in folder one had a typo. So you go into folder one's archival object record, fix the typo, the resource record date will still be 2005. So it doesn't mm-hmm. look like from a search screen that record has ever been touched.
Yeah. So it might be nice to add in our recommendations about having that last edited reflect the last editing within the entire resource record, right?
For my uses, yes.
Same here. I second that. Would somebody be able to add that if you're also on board with it? Okay. If not anybody else, I'll take a look at it later. There was a comment in the chat from Alexis who said it would be useful to have multiple people edit a record simultaneously if you split a large amount of data entry among several workers. I'd like it to update if it's updated as edited at any level. This is something that that I also personally would really like to see. Say, for example, if you're leading a processing class, archival processing class, and then you split off into teams and say, okay, you're working on series one, all right, you're adding entry for series two. It would be so nice if people could edit simultaneously various series or other parts of the finding aid, but maybe just lock the individual components that are actually being edited. But that's just my personal opinion. Any other thoughts about that? So maybe does anybody want to tackle this within the spec? Or I could also take a look at this as well. I'd like to phrase it in a way that's not concrete, but just kind of suggests that it could be helpful. This could be a helpful direction to go. All right. And also talking, looping back to the customization and browsing spec about version control, there's a lot of potential interpretations of version control that have been proposed. So one is about being able to refer to the exported PDFs, but another one is even being able to do more drastic step backs to earlier versions. Say if you import, I'm trying to think, say for example, somebody goes rogue in a processing style and kind of goes a very drastic different direction, and then you go, okay, well, I'd really like to start from back to the basics and let's do this over again. I don't know. That's just an idea. So we do have 10 minutes left, so I want to open the discussion for anything else people would like to talk about with open questions about their specs. I know from my personal experience, the last couple of days have been a madhouse with these specs. I'm really grateful for everyone who's been putting in all of this effort and time and looking over all of these documents, not only their own, but also proofreading others and contributing comments to other people's. So you guys have done an amazing amount of work here. So talking about the logistics going forward, Christine, Kim, you were hoping to get out a monthly update really soon. And I don't want to throw a wrench in your plan or anything, but folks, how do you feel about when we're going to deposit our final recs? Like, technically, we could do it today if we just go gangbusters, but would it make sense to push it back a day or potentially to the end of the week? I also don't want to drag out this project longer than it has to be either.
Well, at least for my end, in terms of the monthly update, I don't think you guys need to rush into anything just to get something out on the update, but I'm totally happy to just include a quick update just saying that the final recommendations will go out at the end of the week or whatever timeline you guys have in mind.
Okay, thank you, Christine. Betsy suggests after the holidays. I'd really prefer to get this taken care of before we all go away, just because as we've seen over the course of these months, And it's a good thing that the program has been evolving and a lot of things that we've suggested have already been implemented. So I think it's good to close this chapter. But my question to you is whether we should potentially move it to, say, the end of day tomorrow, so this way we have more of a chance to resolve all comments, or whether we should resolve it at the end of the week. Jane says won't be able to contribute more this year. Yep. Yeah, no kidding. Yes, do you guys have any other thoughts? Mm-hmm. All right. So I do think we have a lot of potential things to keep looking at, a little bit more refining to do, especially with user accounts trying to dig out of all these new ideas. So are you guys basically on board with let's try to submit our comments by end of day tomorrow? If you feel kind of uncertain about things, maybe we could add some wording in our introduction or overview about that these are suggestions and that the intent of these suggestions is for the improvement of the program, but, you know, soften things. Okay, so I'll suggest at the end of the day tomorrow, unless somebody screams. So please email me if you do have any suggestions, if you do have any objections to that. And then the other question I had is that, unfortunately, we weren't able to just copy and paste the Google Docs into the Confluence pages. What I found out is when I copied and pasted the Google Docs in, it lost all of our wireframes. And so that's not going to fly. So after talking with Christine DeBella and Christine Kim, it sounds like the best solution that I've been able to find is to download everything as Word documents or PDFs and then have it available for download through Confluence on the page. So the disappointment in that is that it's not easily keyword searchable. And it just means that all the readers have to download these specs, but otherwise it keeps our formatting and it keeps our wireframes. Thoughts? A big thought that I want to address is that we have a lot of comments within our docs, and a lot of the comments may be helpful for developers as far as getting more of an insight on how we arrive to our decisions. Should we resolve all comments and try to keep it as clean documents? It would probably be a little bit more polished looking, but as far as providing helpful comments and context, it may be worth keeping some of the comments up. What do you guys think? Lynn wrote, since we're moving out of the comment period, that sounds okay. And so as I was blabbering, Lynn, could you clarify just a little bit more? Sorry. Okay, Jane wrote, is there a specific reason why it needs to move out of Google Docs? Is it just an access issue? Access and preservation, I'd say. Like, it's hosted on my Google Docs, but if for some reason my Google Drive goes down in the future, then it's lost. And these documents, as part of CWIG, should be kept and saved in the Confluence site with archive space anyway. What we could do is just keep both up, so that way we could have a clean copy downloadable through Confluence. And I was going to say have a link to go back to our docs, but it is pretty messy. Thanks for the clarification, Lynn. Yep, that was in response to downloading the docs and attaching to the Confluence. And Betsy writes, can you keep /save a comments version and then move a clean version, then move to a clean version? The comments would be available elsewhere for those who want more detail. Christine DeBella, well, both of you, do you have any preference? Like, what would be helpful for you guys?
I'd say we certainly want like the cleanest, most straightforward copy to give to the developers, because they actually don't want the questions. They want, you know, answers. They want, you know, this is how we want it. So certainly like the comments and thought process is helpful for us, but I think like we want at least one copy that is pristine and reflects like this is the final thing, and that can be what's in Confluence. Okay. I agree, like converting all those things into documents, like actual Confluence pages, is going to be too tough. But yeah, if you could link to final versions, convert everything to Word documents and upload those to Confluence, that would be great. But yeah, okay. That Word set should be as much resolved as possible.
Okay. And do you have any preference on PDFs or Word? Word is okay. Word is better.
I'd say PDF probably, because that does indicate kind of finality. So yeah. PDF would be great.
Okay, great. And so I think what we should do is please go through your docs, both the ones, your doc and also your proofreading doc, and any others if you have time. And if you feel like the comments help introduce some ideas or somehow clarify things a little bit more, please adjust the text as needed. But otherwise, let's resolve all the comments. Let's get all the comments out of there and try to create as clean and professional looking a document as possible. Sounding good? Okay, well, it is 2:01. So I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you again for everybody for your hard work. Thank you to Christine DeBella and Christine Kim for tuning in to all of our meetings, for sitting through all of them, and for answering our questions, and for doing the meeting notes. I am indebted to you guys. And I just wanted to let you know, since this is our last official scheduled meeting with CWIG, I'm going to torture you guys by spamming your inbox with Outlook cancellations. I'm really sorry, and my lesson is learned that I'll never do a group Outlook invite like that again. But just so you know, when you get a million cancellations, it's my final parting gift to you. Okay, and also at the end of the agenda here is the CWIG opt-in link to the survey if you're interested in continuing on with this project next semester, which should be hopefully a little bit less intensive than now. It would be more being available for consultation of questions and potentially testing things. Just please fill out that form. And also, as far as action items, in addition to everything else we already talked about, be sure to update your table of contents on your own document as well as the overarching table of contents. I think I'll be in touch before I download the final copies of our recommendations tomorrow, just to make sure there's no last minute outliers that I need to wait for. And then I'll let you also know once everything's submitted. Okay? Thank you, folks. We are almost done. Great.
Thank you, Lydia, and thank you, everybody. This has been such an amazing project.
Thanks. All right, take care, all. Have a happy holidays and New Year. See you around.
You too.
Thank you.